This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's Monday.
It's Monday. Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and this is the place all week long. During your noon hour, you're going to get local talk, local issues, ideas, institutions, and individuals. This is the place to be, to stay in the know in the Willamette Valley. We are going to have a special guest tomorrow. We just booked them earlier this morning. The mayor is unavailable, so City Councilor Brad Nanke is going to join us tomorrow.
Should be fun.
One, he has almost 20 years of experience sitting in that seat. And two, we, of course, have to thank him as he prepares to make last year his last year representing the Ward 3 citizens. So
nice.
It'll be great to have Brad on tomorrow. I listened to Mary Louise, our own reporter on things to do in Salem, and went out to see Enlightened Theatrics this weekend. Their production of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
How was it?
You know, the talent is remarkable.
Nice.
And I'm a little critical.
You are. You're an actor,
when
too.
When it comes to theater, I confess, and sometimes, you know, I'll just be a little too critical instead of just going along for the ride. And this troupe, they were outstanding.
Yeah.
They were just, I mean, the talent was outstanding.
Nice.
So that was great to see. I know it's not a show for everybody. Not everybody wants to see a show about a transvestite alien, you know, brought to song. However.
Wow. That's how you sum it up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Poor Brad and Janet. Anyway, I just wanted to say the Enlightened Theatrics, Vincenzo, great job. And bringing some great talents. The voices were good. The songs were good. Music was good. The pace was good. Theater was nice. And the audience was participatory, shall we say.
Nice.
Anyway, whether that was your show for you or the next show, between the Pentacle and Enlightened Theatrics, and as Mary Louise Van Atta said on Friday, when she's talking about, there's the comedy downtown as well. We have a lot more choices for entertainment. And good entertainment. And the Elsinore. Let's not forget the Elsinore.
Sure.
All right. So that was a fun thing over the weekend. I'm trying to make a point of being out in the community and doing things, right?
Good for you.
And getting out. It's date night. It's going into the fall, into the winter, and you got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Or you just sit around in the blob and watch TV.
Right.
So I'm trying to find things to do and see in Salem and take advantage of them and, you know. Not be in front of the children
at home. So we're not just talking about it. We're walking the walk.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Our community has a lot to offer. We'll go out and explore it. All right. Hey, big news coming up in our local governance. I want to talk about here first off.
Okay.
So as we know, there's city councilor elections coming up in May. All the odd number of wards will be up for election. So 1, 3, 5, and 7. So that's half our city council, folks.
Right.
And Ward 3, of course, is Brad Nanke, and he is not running for re-election. So there'll be a new person coming in there, and someone has just filed to run for that seat. And also in Ward 5, Jose Gonzalez has filed to run for that seat. These are pretty early, so you know, historically, this is pretty early filings.
Yeah, for
a lot of people don't.
Something coming up in May, right?
Right. The election's in May. It's the primary election. We'll all be turning out in force to vote for our candidate of choice in our party, Republican or Democrat. And so that'll be the same election there. But the filing deadline is typically near the end of February, first part of March. And some people don't even file until the end of February.
Oh, wow.
So to have these gentlemen jumping out, as three of them now have filed to run for these city council seats, shows some real strong interest and some dedication that says, hey, I'm not just going to run a 2.5 month campaign, but I'm going to get out there right now.
But these are supposed to be nonpartisan positions, right?
They are nonpartisan. Yep. Yep. Yes.
Okay.
They are nonpartisan.
Just making sure.
They're not filing as Republicans or Democrats.
Okay.
And it should be nonpartisan.
Yeah, it should be for the good of the city.
And also, I like, you know, we'll get through some of these quotes here from Troy at the Salem Reporter. Does a nice job. And we'll get some of the quotes that he pulled out of their interview with them. And if you haven't seen it yet, check out the Salem Reporter and interview a couple of these candidates. And it's about doing, not doing, being divisive. I believe Trevor Phillips, by the way, is the other candidate. Trevor Phillips is filed to run in Ward 3, and that'll be in a vacant seat with no incumbent. Right? So at least that'll be one. We'll see if he gets contested. Sometimes it's hard to find people that want to come and work on behalf of their ward for nothing and have a bunch of people complain that you're not doing it right.
And
right?
Take a bunch of grief.
Yeah, and time. So thank you, Trevor Phillips. He's a Salem Health emergency room doctor.
Wow.
So as time goes on, yeah, and that's tough to fit in, especially since it sounds like he's got a family and everything. And but he's already volunteering in his neighborhood and the neighborhood association and so forth. So great. Well, we'll see. We'll try to have him on. And a time will come where the campaigns get really rolling, and we'll direct everybody to their websites and get to know these gentlemen a little bit more. All right, so Trevor Phillips running in Ward 3. So right now there's only one candidate. So if the election's tomorrow, he wins. Ward 5, Jose Gonzalez. And Jose is a real estate broker, has been for a long, long time, been around the community a long time, and he is looking to face off with Matt Osick, who, if Matt runs for re-election.
Right.
So Matt's one of these contingent of people that came in and killed the bridge, right? And I think they ran to kill the bridge, and now they've done that. So they may have found out that this wasn't Obama versus Trump. This wasn't Clinton versus Trump. This is, you know what I mean? I think they were like, came in and to save the world and really got sold a bill of goods about how Salem City Council is... partisan is the right, not the right word, but how you have, what's the right word? What is it? Dave Morin, help me out with the vocabulary.
I'm trying to read your face and see what word you're looking for, because I don't want to guess.
You know, they're like, well, we have to work. This is our contingent, and this is our side, and then there's them.
Okay, and so you're talking dictatorship then.
No, it's just like, anyway, so they get there, and I think after 3 or 4 years, they're going to find out. They must be finding out by now. It's not. There's just not partisan issues, right? They're very pragmatic issues, and sometimes there's tough decisions. Like, can our citizens afford this water rate increase? Mm-hmm. You know, that's tough, and you have to weigh. You know, what is our infrastructure needs? What is available revenue? What can the public support? And that's the hardest kind of decision. That and land use, you know. But they're pragmatic. It's not, oh, these are the leftists and these are the righties.
No.
Right? Except, you know, we've got some, that's my issue with them, is they're trying to bring in the kind of the left save the world, you know, you need us kind of thing. And it's Salem City Council. It's not Congress.
They killed the bridge. Yep. And then they're putting in two new taxes.
Uh-huh.
They're calling them fees, but they're still taxes.
Banned plastic bags.
And banned... Did they do straws too?
I don't think we've done straws yet. I was given a straw over the weekend when I went out to dinner.
I had to ask for one.
In downtown Salem.
I had to ask for one.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Matt Osick, he's sitting there. I don't know how much he has contributed. I don't know how much he's enjoying himself. He's certainly taking a lot of time out of his life to do so. And now Jose Gonzalez will face off with him if he files for re-election or if somebody else steps up. When you're looking at a race, though, it's going to be hard to convince anybody, for anyone to convince themselves, hey, if there's 2-3 people in a race already, I don't remember the last time we had 3 people running for the same seat.
Hmm.
I'm sure it's happened. I just can't recall it.
Been a while.
Yeah, and if nobody gets more than 50% of the vote, in that case, there actually is the runoff or the actual general election in November.
Wow.
So that's how it works. Let's say Jose Gonzalez runs, Matt Osick runs, and a third party runs, and nobody gets 50% of the vote. Then the top two go on to the ballot in November.
Hmm.
But if one of them does get 50% of the vote, then in November, and this is true of the mayor's race as well, and then they're the only name on the November ballot.
May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So what do they do in those 7 months?
Nothing.
So it's an empty seat
No. Because the existing incumbent will be sitting in the seat till the end of next year. So they'll be elected in May to take office the following January.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
At least in the primary.
That totally makes sense now.
All right. We're going to get to some of the things they had to say because, of course, we want the newsmaker audience to be more educated than people who are not.
And I appreciate the education.
Audience. So we'll talk about the city councilors. We're going to talk about the governor and her beleaguered forestry department. And I think I even got a snippet about what our U.S. representative has been up to, Representative Ooh. Schrader. Stick with us. My name is Brent DeHart, here with Dave Bourne, and you all are listening to 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking about Salem City Council and the upcoming elections next spring, and we're talking about them already because since 2000, this has probably been as divisive as the city council has been, which is a true tragedy. So factions is the word I was trying to think of.
Oh, that was the word. Okay.
Last segment. Thank you. See, I've got Dave Warren here to help me with my vocabulary. So last segment, factions, you know, if someone's running saying it's us and them, vote for our faction. You need us to protect you from that faction.
There's a problem.
Yeah, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Say, thanks for coming. Good luck. Have a nice day. And just send them on their way. Salem's too small to have factions, folks. We need people who are interested in doing what's best for Salem. And if they don't win the argument, then you move on and fight the next day. But always what's best for Salem without thinking through a partisan lens and not thinking through, well, I have the power. And I sway this many votes and some, you know, this fiefdom and kingdom and trying to build a political resume so that I can move forward. Give me a community minded volunteer any day. And a lot of times we've been fortunate in Salem to have people like that. So I really resent the current crop of people, of whom I would include wards 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, as, you know, people who ran saying, hey, you know, our faction this and our faction that, and we need to take over and save the city from those people. All right. Ward 1 is noticeably absent in this conversation. So as we said in the first segment, Trevor Phillips, he's an emergency room doctor for Salem Health. He's filed to run in Ward 3. And we have an incumbent, Matt Osick, who has not declared his intention. It's still early, very early.
Oh, but yeah.
If he does, he's going to be running against Jose Gonzalez. Honestly, I hate to ever bring up race on the show, but it'd be nice to have some diversity, wouldn't it? It's nice to have some diversity in the Salem City Council. There was a black man. There was a black man that ran for Salem City Council a few runs ago, and he did not get support from people left of center. He did not get support from NAACP, and you know why? Because he was a business owner.
What?
And business owners are evil. That's the kind of thing that is really subversive in our community. That's just sinister.
That's a problem.
I know our whole organization stands for the advancement of black people, but you're not the right color black, right?
That's an issue.
Wow. That's a problem. And so here we are, and we don't have any diversity on there. We do have women and men both, but we don't have any. We don't have a Latino.
What?
Right? We don't have a Latino. I'm forgetting somebody. Nope. So anyway, it'd be nice. Good luck to Jose Gonzalez. Let's talk about a couple of the answers they gave in the state's Salem Reporter interview. Some are very, very telling. So they've both been volunteers. They've both been in the community a long time, raising their family here. That's all good. So the thing that's important to me and all of us is the river crossing.
You broke it down.
So the river crossing. So the reporter, Troy, asked him, hey, do you support it? Jose's had a decent answer. It wasn't as strong as I would have liked, but he does say he's worried about traffic congestion in his neighborhood and so forth.
Good.
And he said it's hard to know what to believe because it got so ugly, the community fight,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't like to see Salem go through the community fight. Not sure where we go from here, which is part of his quote. As far as Mr. Phillips, this is a quote. We need a regional solution to the challenge of our divided geography. Our community is expected to grow by tens of thousands in the next 10 to 20 years. We need a regional solution to address through traffic and improved community resilience. Hey, thanks for jumping up. Give me a call. Mr. Phillips, come on, Trevor, give me a call. Let's have a little chat. This was a regional solution. It did involve Polk County, Marion County, ODOT, and the feds. And so we talked about this with Vanessa Nordyke and her quote about this shouldn't be shouldered just by the city of Salem. And yeah, well, that shows, despite how much we talk about it and it's in the press, people are not getting it. This was over a decade of cooperative, collaborative, multi-jurisdictional, regional solution making.
Yeah.
And they're stepping up and saying, hey, it can't just all be about Salem and rest on Salem's shoulders. So end of the quote there from Trevor is, as a city councilor, I'm going to make sure we have a broad community consensus on any solution before I vote yes on a very expensive project.
Okay. Wasn't it like 92% in the poll that wanted the bridge?
I wish. Yeah, it was 77.
That's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty broad.
These days, when 55% is considered a landslide victory,
right?
You know what I mean, 77, that's the question. That's the question for Trevor Phillips, is what is broad community support? Let's say, Trevor, if we could show you polling that showed every single ward in the city, more than 50%, maybe more than 60% favored the Third River Crossing, right?
Yeah.
Is that broad?
That would be
community
good.
Consensus?
Yeah.
Okay, well, check mark. If we showed you that overall throughout the city, it's 77%, almost 4 out of 5 people said, yes, we want this to happen. Would that be considered broad community consensus?
Mm-hmm.
Check mark. All right. So I hope we have an opportunity between now and the May primary and before he takes office, if he wins, to make sure he's up to speed on this. You know, it's one of those myth things out there that somehow somebody was pushing this and it was all going to be paid on the shoulder of the Salem citizens, like Vanessa Nordyke's quote lent us to believe.
And wow.
If you missed the show, Vanessa Nordyke has been sworn in as a replacement in Ward 7 for Sally Cook. So she's the incumbent in Ward 7, and she'll be running for that against Reed Sund. So
anybody that's running for city council has an open invitation to come on Newsmakers.
Yes, they do.
Yes,
yes they do. Jose, if you're listening, come on. Give us a call. Trevor Phillips, love to talk to you.
Any of them.
Any of them. Yeah,
any of them.
Absolutely. Let's talk and give us a call. Anyway, one other thing I want to talk about coming out of this quote had to do with homeless.
That's a big problem for them.
It is. And I think they both kind of had it right, that Salem, it's an issue for Salem. We need to address. We can't do it alone, right?
Right.
So we need Marion and Polk County. We need and so forth. So that's a pretty good answer. I mean, they were both, you can't ignore it when everybody is telling the mayor and the city council, this is our number one issue. It's do something about them or do something for them. It's the number one issue in Salem right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to it. We're not inviting it like San Francisco and Portland are. You know, this is something that has happened and it's gotten worse. And we as a community, we're not used to seeing it. It
No.
is still fairly new to us for it to be so prevalent in our community. And they want something to do about it. I mean, we don't want to it become the norm, right?
Right.
So Mr. Phillips was a member of the Downtown Homeless Solutions Task Force, which is awesome.
That's good.
Right?
There's a plus.
So they recommending, you know, we put in place, make sure we have a sobering center, which we've talked about with the mayor here. Storage and restrooms and shower facilities. That's interesting. You know, so people can take care of their needs, their hygiene needs, and also not get their stuff stolen and maybe don't have to go steal a shopping cart in order to keep their stuff with them.
Right.
And then, of course, access all the time to service providers so that they have the services, which the mayor, we've talked about the efforts that Salem's done already in order to do so. So that's the Salem City Council shakeup coming up. 1, 3, 5, and 7. Kara Kazer's in Ward 1. That one's noticeably absent, but maybe a candidate will emerge to run in Ward 1. That's kind of a tough one. It's a sliver of West Salem, folks. It's most of downtown and then north of downtown. So that area, maybe somebody who lives in, is a new resident of downtown Salem.
Is that where the bridge would have gone?
I don't know if it encompasses Ward 1. It's a very good question. But likely. And maybe somebody who lives in West Salem has said, seriously, all this traffic and you don't want to build us any lanes? Maybe somebody in West Salem that is in Ward 1, or maybe someone who downtown who says, seriously, all these 18-wheelers are coming through downtown because you won't build another bridge?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, Ward 1, Kara Kazer. Ward 3, Brad Nanke's leaving, and we have a candidate filing to run in Trevor Phillips. Ward 5, Jose Gonzalez has filed to run. Matt Osick is the incumbent. That one is not yet contested until somebody else files. And he, you know, he may wait till February to file. Late February, we may never even know. And, of course, 7, Vanessa Nordyke has been appointed to fill the seat. She's going to file, and Reed Sunt has already filed. So that will be a contested race.
Ooh.
So, okay. Folks, if this is important to you, and you don't like the direction that these people are going, one other topic real quick, because they did ask about whether or not we should have a climate change, you know, action plan.
Seriously?
Yes. Well, it's a good question.
That's debatable, too.
And they asked about tax raising and when is it appropriate.
That's more relevant.
All right. Climate action plan. Well, of course, the city council passed that recently and directed staff to create a climate action plan for the city of Salem. Right?
So close their blinds during the summertime.
Mr. Phillips, you are so cynical.
I'm just saying. Gosh, they're wasting so much time on that.
Mr. Phillips
and money
says we absolutely need a climate action plan.
What?
Need to have a leadership role and so forth. So it's a local issue that needs to be addressed. So that's Mr. Phillips' answer to is it a priority?
Does it really need to be addressed?
Jose Gonzalez. I liked his answer. I liked his answer. He said taking care of our planet should be a priority for all of us.
You know, okay.
Maybe I read into that. It's like, yeah, all of us are doing this. Does the city? Yeah, anyway. But really, the last part of it is where it really tells. He'd like to see real action in it and not just adding another layer to our government. All right, let me just read this because I like what Jose had to say. He said, even just planting a tree is a step in the right direction, and you know like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, just one large tree absorbs carbon dioxide and provides a day's supply of oxygen for 4 people. I'm looking forward to learning more, blah, 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 but I want to see real action and not just adding a layer to our government. Thank you, Jose.
That is a good answer.
Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you love white oaks, don't strap yourself to a tree and protest that one's going to get cut down. Why don't you be proactive and plant some?
Plant some more.
If you think there's too much carbon dioxide and not enough oxygen in our atmosphere, then why don't you do something in an action plan to plant some more trees?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, why do you always have to stump against something? Why don't you go be the positive change?
I like that.
All right, we're going to take, every now and then I say something that Dave Bourne likes. Okay, so we got to take a break. We're going to come back here and switch to state government for just a little bit. I'm Brent DeHart, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Welcome back to Monday.
It's Monday.
I almost wanted to play the mama and papas here.
I always have a ton of energy on Monday. Thank you for being with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We have been talking about Salem City Council. One last thing on this is if you do not like the direction the council's going and has been going with this new cadre of people that thinks that their faction needs to take over, be prepared to write a check be prepared to walk door to door in your neighborhood or their neighborhood, because that's how you get elected. So they're going to need money to run their campaigns, and they're going to need volunteers to help spread the word. Don't sit around and complain about it unless you're willing to put your sneakers on, walk door to door, and help these candidates, the private citizens taking time away from their families and their businesses
for no money
to serve the city and get us back on track would be my perspective. All right, moving on. Not like we're not going to hammer this to death from between now and the election in May. So the state, you know how much I love a void of leadership. So when it comes to the state, I don't think I'll ever get over John Kitzhaber, honestly.
Wow.
So Mayor Brown, though, she has formed an action group, 13-member oversight team, because the financial complete crisis, crisis doesn't even encompass how bad it is over the Department of Forestry. The real question is, how does it get this bad without people knowing? Without people knowing and things happening beyond their control, it is a mess.
Is it kind of like the foster kids program?
I'm hoping it's better than that, honestly. Okay. But yeah, I mean, how did it get that bad? And so one, I want to thank Kate Brown for jumping to address the issue, right? Forming an oversight team, get this ship righted. All right, so that's good. I'll take that. I'll give, you know, some credit when credit's due, as long as you're going to continue and follow through in action and not just have 13-member teams write a list of bullet points of things you should do. But that's the good news, is that she has a team and recognizes the problem and said, let's get it fixed and fixed in a hurry.
But she did that for the foster care program 3 times. Did anything change? No.
More recently, they started taking. They did hire a bunch of people. They did take action on that.
Yeah, but it took
too long.
Too long. 2 years, I think. Right.
So this Department of Forestry, I mean, the state is already being sued for $1.4 billion from cities and counties throughout the state, any of the timber producing, in which the state is managing forests in their county or in their city limits. So. 14 counties, by the way,
that's a
are
lot.
All part of this lawsuit suing the state. Another show entirely. The problem with the Forestry Department is they don't have any money. They ran out of money. They have a backlog of $100 million of receivables. That means, now, the Department of Forestry is responsible to fight these fires as they come up, right?
Correct.
So... they fight fires on private land. They fight fires on BLM land, U.S. Forest Service land, state forests, and so forth. And the agency has agreements, you know, to reclaim the costs of those from these agencies. So there's a intergovernmental agreement, as it were. Well, there's $100 million in outstanding receivables, and they haven't even billed almost half of it.
What?
$46 million. They haven't written an invoice for. First of all, it's going to be slow enough to get paid by the federal government.
Sure. Right? Yeah. That's molasses right there.
This is what drives us taxpayers and us voters crazy, Governor Brown and Department of Forestry. No private business would be sitting around on $100 million of receivables, right?
Nope.
You outsource it. You hire, I mean, I'd say you do have a series of crises in a private sector business. They're going to outsource their collections. That's how it works. Not just collections, but they're building whatever. Even if they have to take off a piece to give to whoever they outsource, they're not going to be not just huge numbers, but years behind.
Have they not heard of QuickBooks?
I think it goes far beyond QuickBooks. So
still, I mean, that would help.
Right now, they can't cover their payroll.
Oh.
Department of Administrative Services, that's the administrative behemoth that administers the state. So far, they've covered them for like $18 million. So this is, and folks, if you want to look into this, there's a whole series on the Oregonian, which is frightening enough that the Oregonian has an entire series of what's wrong with the Forestry Department.
Wow.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, some of these other articles. But all right, so they can't make their payroll. They don't have any money. They have boxes and boxes of records that somebody, I mean, it reminds you like in a movie where someone comes with the office boxes and or shoe boxes full of receipts, you know, and like, hey, would you do my taxes? But Kate Brown's on it and sent a letter. The state forester, his name is Peter Doherty. Doherty. And there's a board, of course. This is a state board. The chair is Tom Imeson, saying it has reconciled, because the agency really pushed hard this summer, it's reconciled its bills from 2000 and, want to guess, 13.
Ouch.
And 14 fire season.
Jeez.
And Governor Brown wrote, it's imperative that the remaining accounting backlog be cleared expeditiously. They're also going to, they're going to hire an independent contractor to help them address the situation and find out, you know, you have to be able to document if you're going to build the federal government, you're going to have to document what got spent on what and how much was their portion and, you know, things like that. And you're going to have, it goes back, I guess there's boxes of time cards and everything else that they need to, you know, document the case for these are billable hours and these are billable efforts. And by the way, you owe us a bunch of money, right? This is a mess. So, how does it get this bad this long?
So all these firefighters that help maintain these fires and put them out and all that, they got paid, right?
They got paid. Yep.
So how do they have this backlog?
Well, they got paid, but the Department of Forestry didn't get the reimbursement. So they just
somebody forgot to file it?
Somebody forgot. No, they didn't even create it. They're talking about boxes of records that have to be filed. I mean, it's not a pretty picture.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is. And so they're going through all of these reserves that they've had in all these departments, and they've just sucked it dry, and then it's like, oh, well, we can't make payroll.
Well, you know what they could do is hire an independent contractor and, you know, maybe cut down a few trees. And sell them.
Maybe they could
get the money for it.
Do some forestry.
And do some actual forestry work.
That is just crazy talk. You need
for
to
for the Department of Forestry.
You need to go see somebody about that delusion. Your delusional way of thinking.
It just baffles my mind.
They borrowed $50 million from the Oregon Treasury.
What?
Yeah, on credit. Yeah, and the Treasury's like, yeah, I don't think they're a good risk. We don't think.
An acre of trees would bring that in. Come on.
Now you're hyperbolating a little bit. All right. So the Department of Forestry, in a world of hurt, they've been sucking every account dry and all of the, you know, about bothers me. They don't have these reserves. And the quote near the end of the article, sometimes the best things and the most that are more elucidating are at the end of the article. The quote, and this is the Oregonian, folks, the severity of the agency's cash flow problem caught the Board of Forestry off guard.
How?
Mm-hmm.
For how many years?
Mm-hmm.
Five, six?
This has been going on at least six years.
6 years. And they were blindsided by this? Please. Yeah.
So it's, the Board of Forestry have probably been inadequately informed. Now this, so then it goes back to the state forester, right? Goes
pretty
back
much.
And said, were you hiding it? And if they didn't know, they got to be mad too, because it makes them look bad.
Right.
How are they supposed to make...
informed decisions.
Where were they asking all the right questions? Were they looking at the balance of all these reserve funds? Were they looking at the balance of the funds? How did it catch you off guard? But, you know, I've been in organizations where, you know, the leadership kind of doesn't let you see behind the curtain.
Right.
Right. And whatever it is. But that is a huge problem. And you kind of wonder why State Forester Peter Doherty still has a job. Is it his doing? And I don't know. Maybe he's new. I don't know. His tenure there, it's not addressed in the article. But, okay, let's talk about one other thing here. Because a lot of these things are going to be billing the federal government, right?
Right.
For BLM, Bureau of Land Management, folks, for your acronym junkies, and Department of Forestry, U.S. Department of Forestry. So they had a contract. It was a four-year period, right? And the state of Oregon... billed them for $4.7 million for fighting fires on their lands.
Okay.
Well, they contested it, and they didn't think that was fair. They didn't think it was accurate. And they ended up complaining, and they settled the bill for $2.5 million.
Half.
53%, to be precise. So why?
If we had,
maybe we didn't have the documentation. Why? Why did we get... Why did the state of Oregon and its taxpayers, when I say state, I mean us, we taxpayers, why did we settle a $4.7 million bill for $2.5 million?
Right.
Why, people? And did that not really bother the Board of Forestry? There's something wrong. Did we give away some money?
Mm-hmm.
Or did we do it wrong when we built him $4.7 million? That's a huge discrepancy.
Sure.
Are you overbilling the federal government, or did you just say, hey, it's okay, Oregonian taxpayers will take care of it, the bill for your land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those is true, or are they both true? It's a sad state of affairs.
I would tend to go with the overbilling.
Yeah. And so moving on, before we get to break, you know, again, the Oregon has a series of these articles. Right now, Brown's at odds with the department about habitat conservation plan. In short, she's trying to create an agreement with the federal government to hold Oregon harmless in some, so you don't have to worry all the time that you're going to get sued by the federal government, that, you know, two spotted owls will lose their habitat or something, you know. So that's probably a good move, where you say, hey, can we get on the same page at least, so we won't spend any time in the next two generations fighting each other in court.
Right.
Right? Anyway, so it's a good article. Maybe we'll address it again later in the week. But it's called Failing Forestry, if you want to look it up, folks.
Good title.
Oregonian series of articles. One is about its unsustainable path. One's having forest management plans take forever. No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And one I have not touched on, where it, Oregon wanted to clear cut above their water supply, which is an issue if you want to replant, right? All right, we got to take a break. We got one more segment coming up on this Monday. There's some fun and interesting things. Thanks for being here on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We were talking about the state of forestry and what a mess it is in with cash flow problems, etc. I did, during the break, find what I was searching for in terms of what this looks like at the state agency. So this is, again, an article from the Oregonian. State auditors pointed out this cash flow problem back in 2016. So, Mr. Richardson, thank you for doing that and auditing the department. Back in 2016, folks, that's dangerously close to 4 years ago.
Right.
By 2016. Oh, it's like yesterday. No, this is 2019. We're getting here in the end of 2019, folks. All right. So we had a couple of years with large fire costs and it piled up. So they didn't have enough staff to deal with the problem of this billing. They didn't have the staff to do it. It just piled up. So the work involved involves digging through boxes of old shift tickets and lists of equipment used on fires. Then you have to review all of those against the cost-sharing agreements it has with the federal agencies. And then you need to audit the results, and then you need to submit the claims.
Sounds cumbersome.
So they just piled. I mean, I'm just visualizing a storeroom with these boxes of records, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's unfair, but that's what I'm visualizing, right? So that's our state government, folks. And that's goes back to, okay, I know your state government. I know government is different from private sector, but I'm a taxpayer, and I don't want you to sit on $100 million that's owed the state.
Right.
And then have the state go and give us billions of dollars of new taxes for revenue.
Yeah.
Right?
Issue.
That's a problem. You guys see the disconnect here? And how many departments did Dennis Richardson's, you know, Secretary of State division audit and say, hey, there's room for improvement and there's wastefulness in government spending and you need to do better? So thank you. Dennis Richardson, of course, has now passed, and he was a great servant and a great Secretary of State, if you ask me.
He was.
Anyway, I do want to finish up the hour talking about the forestry. It does affect us here. I mean, the Mid-Valley, we've got forests, of course, in Tillamook, you know, Yamhill, Polk, Marion counties. And the counties are already suing the state, and they got to deal with that $1.4 billion breach of contract. And then Brown is also pushing, Governor Brown is pushing a habitat conservation plan. Talked about it just a little bit before the break, but basically it is trying to get a waiver from prosecution from the Endangered Species Act, such that if the state logging inadvertently kills a protected animal or harms its habitat, then the federal, in exchange for having some buffer areas, then the federals won't sue the state, right? So looking for a 50-year agreement, and I get that. I don't know the particulars. I don't know if it favors Oregon.
Sounds like a free reign for them to be able to go in and, oops, I took out an owl's habitat. My bad. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, except we're talking about the state of Oregon.
True.
Right? We're not talking about Simon LeGruy. some evil, you know.
I'm just saying.
So in exchange, I mean, there's going to be people say, hey, no, they're saying it sounds like an agreement to put too much of our forestry off limits, right?
Really?
That we have these conservation areas, this habitat conservation areas, and they're off limits in exchange for these things. And are we giving up too much?
Oh.
So.
Well, we already have given up way too much.
Yes. Another officer in the forestry department, there's a state forest chief, Liz Dent. So she's working on a draft. And we'll deliver it next September.
What?
Next. Yes.
Who assigned her that homework?
Next September. At which point, I'm sorry.
Next September.
I'm having a hard time reading this without laughing in my misery here. Next September, at which point the board, this is the same board that didn't know that they were hemorrhaging money, can choose whether to move forward with federal negotiations. So let's wait 10 months for a draft, and the board looks at it, and then if they decide to move forward at that point, then we'll begin federal negotiations, which I'm cursed. That'll just take a couple of days.
Okay. So, yeah, it moves at the speed of a ice flow.
At the same time, the Department of Forestry, the agency, is looking for a new forest management plan, separate, you know, from Governor Brown's habitat conservation plan. And this one, this plan has been in existence since 2001. So
to manage the forest?
Yeah. Our forest management plan, right? It's been
operating. I thought they had one.
They have one. It's been operation
since
2001.
Which they don't do anything.
And they've been looking at upgrading it and so forth since 2013 in fits and starts, the article says. But don't worry, because Liz Dent, the state forest chief, says that they'll have a draft for next April.
Dude, seriously?
And it gets worse. The new plan isn't expected to generate a big increase in harvest levels. And that won't please timber companies and the counties who are counting on the revenue.
Right.
Not going to increase harvest levels.
Oh, my goodness.
Even though there's a whole quote about concern about financial viability of state forests in the Board of Forestry. Column about that. Yeah, this is not going to do anything about that. Thanks for staying with us, folks. Tomorrow's another day, and we're going to do this again. And just as well, and just as importantly. So I hope you join us. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKM.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.